Blog Talk Radio.
I'm doing really well. I'm trying to deal with a new phone. So, okay.
Yeah, sounds good now.
Oh, great. Okay, you wanted to say something about Syria?
Sure.
Okay, I have the progress chart here of, I have the natal chart of Syria and the progression. What is really interesting is, you know, we're dealing here with the sun in Virgo is the natal chart of Syria,
mm-hmm.
and the moon is in Pisces. Are you
mm-hmm.
there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so basically what we're talking about now is the progression of the sun is at 24 degrees of Scorpio, which means we're not getting a lot of the truth about any of this.
Right.
Mercury is in Scorpio, and this country is just, I think, being used as a front, okay,
mm-hmm.
for some other thing that's happening. And I'm really, you know, the Mars in Aries is what is really kind of scary because right now, as you know, Uranus is laying on Aries. And
yes.
It could just blow up like a powder keg at, you know, any moment. I mean, that's because basically what we're looking at is Uranus at 11 degrees of right now in the sky and Mars at 11 degrees of Aries and Uranus at 11 degrees of Aries and Ceres natal Mars is 23 degrees of Aries. So, and it's an intercepted house. So we're lined up with some kind of an underlying earthquake or volcanic energy that just with the right trigger will just blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
if you put that with Obama's chart, then you know now that for the last 2 years, he's a Libra. So his son has progressed into Libra, which is balance. But it still means that that's directly across from Aries, okay?
Yeah.
So the speech or whatever that's going to come on tonight, he's dealing with Neptune. Neptune is in Scorpio. His Saturn is at 7 degrees of Scorpio. And his natal Neptune is 8 degrees of Scorpio. And the transit is, of course, Moon in Scorpio right now. So I don't know how much of the truth any of us are getting, okay?
Right. Well, we can assume that we're not getting any of the truth. Go ahead.
But then, you know, if you're dealing with Michelle's chart,
yeah,
then you're dealing with a whole different kind of energy around it. Because
yeah.
You know, Michelle's a mystic. She has a mystic rectangle in her chart. Obama has the Star of David in his chart, as above, so below. He has a lot of kites in his chart. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, she has, because her time has never been quite, it comes out to zero Pisces with Venus at zero Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
Right inside a mystic rectangle.
Wow.
Which means, yeah, it's a beautiful chart. And then her sun is at 26 degrees of Capricorn, which
mm-hmm.
means basically yeah, that when she was, you know, 4 years old, her sun went into Aquarius because it's void, of course, it's way out, it's near the 30 degree mark.
Mm-hmm.
And her
mm-hmm.
Mercury is in Capricorn. This is a very ancient soul, Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Who could be very, she could, and her Neptune is at 17 degrees of Scorpio. She was born in 64. So she could be, you know, you always say the person that's right beside the person is really influential. Her Jupiter is at 12 degrees of Aries. So again, we're talking about, she is really, really. Get it is very verbal about what's going on here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think if the women were running the world, there would be way less war. Do you not?
Oh, well, I think Hillary is a war monger. So, but there are a lot of women who would not resort to such catastrophic, destructive alternatives, for sure.
Well, Hillary's a Scorpio Taurus. That's a whole different animal, okay? That doesn't have that Piscean softness in it, you know?
Yeah, the reason we're talking about Michelle is because President Obama mentioned her right after he said that he knows that the American public is weary of war and most people don't want it. And he said Michelle doesn't want it either, which revealed so much about what is happening in his life, his personal life, that she must be, you know, hammering it into his brain that what is going on here is serious, serious stuff.
Well, a progression from Leo that he is and all the way through Virgo, and then his son, Godseed, going into, Libra, means that's balance. That's not war.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the heart and the mind are supposed to come together. And this whole Neptune-Saturn-Neptune thing that's lined up in his chart, that means it's either the war or peace. So,
yeah.
But his moon in Gemini is what always gives you, when it's a Leo male with a moon in Gemini, and that always gives you pause because they want, and the Mercury in Leo, they want to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to flip-flop, okay?
Yeah.
Great for a tennis player. I don't know how great it is for a president, okay?
That's funny.
What is great for a tennis player, you know?
Yeah.
There's a million shots to do with the moon in Gemini. The point is to know which shot to do, which one to do, which play to make. So I fear that sometimes he gets too many opinions.
He gives too many opinions?
Gets too many opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So the graft right now on his, I do a lot of graft work. The graft work is that this thing tonight, this speech tonight, right now and this week, we're really at a catastrophic place in this whole thing with Jupiter coming down over it in Cancer and squaring it off. We're really coming down into a place where there's going to be a decision made. And I think if Neptune is so prominent, there should be a lot of prayer for peace, okay? A lot of prayer. I think prayer will help.
Yeah, yeah. Well, most of us are not for this war alternative at all. In fact, I think that for once I have seen that the American public is kind of on the same page. You know, it's like the youth and the old, all of the different demographics are all saying the same thing. No, 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 don't do this.
Has war ever solved anything?
Well, I think it's about time that we learned that it has not. It's about time. It's time to learn this. So, no, it has not.
War has not solved anything in personal relationships. It's not solved anything in any kind of organizational relationships. And it certainly hasn't done any good with countries.
Right.
It's time that we learn a peaceful means of communication.
Yeah, it's time. That's all you can say about it, that it is time. And tomorrow is the anniversary of 9/11. And that's a very pivotal moment in people realizing that as a result of that one attack on America, so many, many more have died. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. So what kind of solution does that give us? You know, what is that teaching our children? You know, what is this doing to the least among us? For instance, I was saying, I did a little video today on the bees. The bees are what allow the human species to survive because they pollinate our food. If we are killing the bees with the war and with Monsanto, with GMOs, with pesticides, herbicides, then the one thing people can do is stop killing off their dandelions, because the dandelions are what the bees look for when they come out of their hibernation every spring. They're actively searching for dandelions. And if we're killing off those dandelions, we're killing off the bees. And that Albert Einstein says that we only have 4 more years to live if we kill off our honeybees. So we need to think about, if we're not going to think about, this hit me last week. I had a wonderful woman on my show who is a bee whisperer, and she is an activist for the environment, but also for saving the bees. And it just had a real aha moment that I'll never forget, and it has to do with the least among us has to be revered, or we're just never going to get anywhere. So, yeah.
I agree.
Having a war in Syria is not thinking about the least among us. It's not thinking about women and children who are routinely killed in such situations, nor is it taking into account the small creatures that God has created for all of us. So, it's a tough time, I think, and we need to be prayerful and loving and not be prayer or being loving is weak. In fact, it's very, very it's a strengthening thing. And the fact is that if Mars is in its native sign right now, it's going to be tough for all the rhetoric of war to die down. But, you know, it's interesting. There might be a diplomatic solution, and it might have to do with Syria giving all of their chemical weapons to the international stage, just giving it over to the powers that be. And it seems like that could happen. And now the way that happened was very interesting, because Secretary of State Kerry just sort of set it off the top of his head, and everybody just jumped right on it as a diplomatic solution. And people say, well, this could never work. Well, just because it's never worked before, obviously, we're doing everything the way we've always done it, that hasn't worked. Let's do something that actually might work.
I see no way that by attacking them, that's going to stop anything.
Let's give all of our nuclear warheads, let's give every weapon in the world to some sort of peacekeeping, somehow destroy these things in a way that doesn't destroy the planet. You know, we really need to get on. This is the shift. The planet is going through a shift, and there's a shift going on. There are a lot of people seeking the light in every situation, and it is really time to just go for it. Okay, end of speech. We do have a person on the line who's waiting to talk with you this evening.
Okay.
Hang on.
Oh.
Erica 302, welcome to the show.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
I am calling today because my boyfriend is a journalist, and he is currently over in Egypt, and I have been pretty frazzled and just not able to connect, and I don't know if he's okay. I don't know what our future looks like. It's a mess.
What's his birthday, honey?
July 29 of 69.
And what is your name?
Taria.
Taruda?
Taria.
Taria.
Like Maria. Like Maria, but with a T.
And what's your birthday?
September 19 of 66.
66?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So you've not been able to get in touch with him?
The communication has been very, very scarce, because he has to be very careful about the information that he sends.
Mm-hmm. All right. Uh-huh. Okay. I think I have the feeling that he's okay. He has the moon in Aquarius, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is, it vibrates at a level, this is complicated, mm-hmm. but the moon in Aquarius vibrates at a level and somehow of safety, and because it really is a peacekeeper in some ways. And he has Mercury in Leo, and I feel that he's okay. Mm-hmm. And I got a piece that backed it up by a peaceful card. Okay, mm-hmm. There's a lot of hiding and a lot of secrecy here, mm-hmm. but it seems to be a peaceful thing. Okay, mm-hmm. that he's going to be all right, honey. Are you there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yours is September 19. What I want to ask you to do in this is I want you to try to pull yourself out of fear, mm-hmm. because you're creating the story that way.
And, okay.
Okay, and you know about creating stories, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as you create that reality of fear around him and that perception of that kind of energy, that's what you're creating. So instead of doing that, honey, could you instead just start to take time and meditate and project love to him and safety to him and light to him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And stop and never say that question that you asked me again?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that, because he has the moon in Aquarius, and when he does that, he can pick up vibration really easily.
Mm. Okay.
And especially a loving vibration. Mm-hmm. And he can also pick up fearful vibration, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds simplistic what I'm saying, but it works because you will be vibrating at a higher level of vibration, which is proven if you vibrate in fear and the kind of vibration where you're vibrating now, that means it's a much lower vibration. But if you vibrate up over 300 in courage and love and power and enlightenment, that will take it up to a different level, and you will feel better, he will feel better, and the vibration will be better.
Right. Okay.
Okay? Okay?
Yes.
All right. You sound better now.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we'll send you healing vibrations as well. And I'm sorry you're going through this, but everything is the way it has to be at this point, you know?
Right, yeah.
Honey, try to say, what am I learning from this? Sit down and go, what am I learning from this? What are you learning? I can't answer that question for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you must say, am I learning courage? What am I learning from this? Okay? Am I learning to vibrate at a different level, even though I want to vibrate at the other level, right?
Right. Okay. I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And get some prayer meditation, get the book, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that?
No, but I've heard of it.
Well, go get it.
Okay. Okay.
I think it will help you. I really do.
Okay. Okay.
All right, honey.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Are you still the before I ask that question, how can people get a hold of you? How can people get a hold of you if they would like to have a personal private reading with you? You know, where astrology is not where you're going doing so much more than looking at an ephemeris and checking out a person's sign at that moment of birth. There's so much more to a natal chart. So anyway, how can they get a hold of you?
Mary, M-A-R-Y, Sheila, S-H-E-I-L-A, at gmail.com is my...
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a full natal chart. When you get the full natal chart done, it's with, I do transits. I'm a Uranian astrologer, so I do an entire Uranian wheel for the life, and I do transits and progressions and graphs for part of last year and going into 2014, I do graphs. So it takes about 2 hours and a half to get a full natal reading, Kate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are you still doing Astro Drama?
I'm not doing that so much. I'm busy writing a book right now. And I think I'm going to start that in January.
Tell us about your book.
The book is using metaphor and fairy tale to make astrology easier for people to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So if indeed we are using, for instance, I mean, I started out with one fairy tale and now I'm doing a couple of them, but I started out with The Wizard of Oz, and people seem to really understand astrology if I say, well, think of Mercury as the scarecrow who is stuck and running in insanity around and around saying the same thing over and over again.
Right.
And you get the scarecrow off of the stick, and you move him forward into a new solution. So,
mm-hmm.
And then the Tin Man would be the Venetian energy of where you're hiding your heart, and that Dorothy comes along, and she's the seed in some way, and she oils him, and he begins to move again. And the Cowardly Lion is either the bully or the victim, fight or flight. So it seems I'm using that in my work when I do natal charts, and people seem to understand, they can get that because everybody knows metaphors and fairy tales.
Yeah.
I know your mother loved fairy tales, so I think maybe she's channeling information.
The metaphor is at the heart of people's understanding, for sure, and if you can, the more metaphor we can use in our communication, the more we're relating to our audience and to the people we are affiliated with.
Yes, and Jack and the Beanstalk, where I'm working now, there's a huge golf course. I'm looking at it right now that I'm
mm-hmm.
on the edge of, and there's
mm-hmm.
a Jack and the Beanstalk trees over in the golf course. So I'm working
yeah.
with the fact of the seeds, which are the God seeds, grow up the beanstalk. But the other world, like Wonderland, and when he goes up to see the giant, is the extraordinary world. It's the world of gods. It's the world of, you know, it's the world. It's a different world. And
yeah.
so that world is run by Neptune and Uranus and Plutonic energy.
Right.
And then if we can take the extraordinary world and bring that back as our chart into the ordinary world and use our chart in a different way,
mm-hmm.
I think the book will give a lot of information about that. In fact, I have some students that are very excited about it, you know?
Yeah. So this is in a sense you are creating a new roadmap for how to use astrology.
Yes, I'm creating a new yellow brick road. You see, it's so interesting when you start to go in because Jack goes up on the beanstalk. Alice
uh-huh.
goes down into the hole,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And the tornado whirls Dorothy into the other land. And it's so interesting because Professor Marvel already told her in Kansas when she ran away from home that she needed to go home. So
right.
Professor Marvel is the wizard in the extraordinary world. It's and wizards always promise you big things, but they and that inspires you to go forward, but they don't pan out. They don't pan
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
Always the magic only comes in for a moment. the Uranus, or the, you know, the blend of the Good Witch, or, and the nodes in the chart are the red shoes that are taking you down the road. So the south node is what gets you there, and then they magically go on your feet, and then you're moving down the yellow brick road with your north node shoes on. But every once in a while, a magic comes in, you know?
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense. The, you know, in the Mad Hatter, it's interesting because Tim Burton took Alice in Wonderland and brought it into the fact that Wonderland was destroyed. And Alice had to come back into Wonderland to save it. But she's the one that had to do it. But the Mad Hatter is Mercury in Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
Because he doesn't really make sense, you know?
Yeah.
You have to, he's magical. He's like a shaman or something. You have to figure out what he says. And when he says to Alice, you know, you've lost your muchness. You're not very much. I love that line, by the way. But
yeah,
then he doesn't do anything to get her muchness back. He puts her in a hat, his top hat, and throws her, spins her away to go face the evil queen. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So, and that's the, she has to face the plutonic energy, but she has to face it alone. So that is, I've got a lot going. I have Jupiter and Gemini with the book. So there are all these different chapters that I'm working on. You know, these different metaphors, I wanted to say, okay?
Yeah.
So you have, look at you. You have prayer prescriptions for animals, prayer prescriptions for people, prayer prescriptions for nurses. You have the whole thing. See, it just goes bigger and bigger, right?
Well, in a way, it's another metaphor, isn't it? For it's another roadmap, as it were, you know, of seeking alternative ways of finding guidance in this world. And it can be a difficult world for sure, but not that it has to be. In other words, that's another story, right? And we don't let it go there.
Well, when I say Obama in his chart now is making a decision between Neptune and Saturn, Saturn is what you're saying is the old way of doing it. Saturn says, do it the way we've always done it. Neptune says, like Einstein, you don't do it with the knowledge that you've already done. You do it with your creativity and your imagination, which goes on forever. So what Obama has to do right now is use his imagination for a different way to do this.
Right.
His Neptunian quality to figure out a different way to solve this, because war has never solved anything.
Right. Isn't that the truth? Ugh.
Well, it is the truth, and I mean, and you have to say that the things they put on television, most of it, is to inflame everybody. So if you believe the shots, every shot they do on television, then you're going to be in war right away.
Yeah, I really hope that things can calm down a little bit.
Well,
do you think are they calming down?
Yes.
Yes, they are.
Yes. Okay.
I think that Obama got himself out of a tight fix there.
Obama what?
He got himself out of a tight fix.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't talk so much. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, be very careful what you say, okay?
Right, I think we all probably could use that advice. And be kind in the way that you express yourself. And
yeah.
And always
listen and finish with a question, because you never have all the information.
That's right. Especially in something
like
that.
So if you end up with, do you mean this? And then you say what you mean. You say, this is what I heard.
Right.
Then you'll get clearer. That's using Mercury correctly.
Well, I also thought that the Charlie Rose interview with Assad was fascinating because that was a very important piece to changing the rhetoric of war.
Yes.
That was just remarkable. That was just wonderful. Yes. Not to say that Assad, you know, obviously Assad wanted to be heard. He wanted his point of view to be taken into account. And he Charlie Rose has been wanting that interview for a long time, and it just sort of fell into place.
Yes.
It just seemed like that was a pivotal moment. And journalists are just, in my opinion, true journalists are real heroes. I just love that.
I agree. I think Charlie Rose is wonderful.
I know, and my gosh, he must have been so happy. I think that some of that stuff was twisted around. Some of the words, once again, were twisted around for the sound bites for cable television. I have yet to hear the whole interview, but I plan to do that later on tonight.
Good. Good. Very good.
So love to you, my love, and I look forward
okay.
to talking with you next month. And
yes. Okay.
Wish me,
much
wish
love
me
to you, and peace be with you in the world right now, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, and wish me luck on the uprooting our fear of death, because I think that is something that needs to be part of the conversation.
I wish you luck.
Be having. Yeah. Break a leg, right? Break a leg.
Yes.
Okay,
all right.
Love.
Bye-bye, honey.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.